He gazed ahead down the broad avenue leading toward Hector's palace for several thoughtful breaths, then shrugged again.
My prince, I understand why the Navy needs the new guns, and I understand that we've got to rebuild the fleet as quickly as we can. But to be honest, I don't think there's any way we're going to be able to manage all of that rebuilding before Caleb and the Royal Carisian Navy come calling. That means they're going to be able to land troops almost anywhere they want, with no real significant resistance from our own navy. I'm not blaming Taral, Earl Tartarian, for that. It's not his fault. In fact, it's not anyone's fault. But it still means it's going to be up to the army and me to defeat any invasions, since the navy can't stop them from happening in the first place.
He paused, looking steadily at his prince, and Hector nodded. I think you're exactly correct about that, he agreed. And?
And under those circumstances, I think it might be a wiser use of our resources and the time available to us to produce cannon for the army's use, not for the navy's. Or at least, not exclusively for the navy.
Ah? Hector frowned thoughtfully, considering what Anvil Rock had just said. And as he did, he realized the Earl had a point. A very good one, in fact. No one on Safehold had ever heard of field artillery, not in the sense in which the term had once been used on a planet called Earth, at any rate. Safeholdian guns had been too big, too massive, too slow-firing. On their clumsy, wheelless carriages, they were virtually immobile. Once emplaced, moving them again wasn't something to be considered, especially in the presence of the enemy. But given the lightness and handiness of the new Carisian guns, that might not be true any longer. The sort of naval carriage the Carisians had developed, and which Tartarian's artisans and foundry workers had duplicated from Captain Mergen's sketches, wouldn't be very practical for field use, but surely something else could be worked out. May I assume you've been giving some thought to exactly how you might mount and use artillery in the field? He asked aloud.
Actually, Corin's been thinking about it, Anvil Rock replied, and Hector nodded.
Sir Corin Garvai, Anvil Rock's eldest son and heir, was also one of the Earl's senior troop commanders. And despite the nepotism which had inevitably favored his career, he happened to be very good at what he did. And what has Corin come up with?
A new carriage, for one thing, Anvil Rock said. It's more like a two-wheeled cart than anything the Navy would use, but it looks to me as if it'll work, if it's built sturdily enough at least, and I'm guessing they could be towed by two-horse teams fairly rapidly. Might work better with four horses rather than two, of course, or we might try it with draft dragons. They don't much care for the sound of gunfire, though. I think horses would probably be steadier. You'd need a lot more of them per gun, and their endurance would be lower, but they'd also be faster over shorter distances.
I see the two of you have been thinking about it, Hector observed. And given the circumstances we're probably going to be facing shortly, I think you're probably right about who's going to need artillery worse. Especially if you and Corin can work out tactics to use it effectively.
We've been kicking that around, too, Anvil Rock said. Of course, anything we come up with at this point is going to be purely theoretical, you understand. It can't be any other way until we get some actual pieces to try out our notions. And even then... Look out, Your Highness!
Hector's head snapped up as one of his guardsmen suddenly spurred his horse. The beast leapt forward, drawing abruptly even with Hector's mount, and the guardsman's right hand shot out. Hector's eyes went wide as that hand literally jerked him off of his horse, yanking him up against the guardsman's breastplate, even as the bodyguard simultaneously twisted himself around sideways in the saddle. The prince was reaching for his dagger in automatic self-defense when he heard and felt the guardsman's sudden, convulsive gasp. The iron-hard grip which had hauled him bodily out of his saddle slackened suddenly, and Hector found himself falling untidily to the street's cobblestones. He hit hard, sending a bolt of pain through his left forearm as he landed squarely on top of a fresh, moist pile of horse manure. But he scarcely noticed either of those things. He was staring up at the guardsman who had attacked him. The guardsman, who was slumped forward in his saddle with the two arbalest quarrels which would otherwise have struck Hector sticking out of his back. His cuirass's backplate had slowed the missiles, but they must have been fired from a very short range because they'd punched right through it. As Hector watched, the guardsman started to slip sideways out of his saddle. The prince hurled himself to his feet, reaching up, grunting with effort and the fresh pain in his left arm as he caught the dead weight of the man who had just saved his life. He went back to his knees, holding the bodyguard, watching the blood bubble from the other man's nostrils.
"Window," the dying young man got out. "Saw them in the window."
"I understand," Hector said, bending over him. "I understand."
"Good,"
the guardsman got out, and then his eyes lost focus forever.